Hello and welcome. This is the SDF Amateur Radio Club weekly net number 452 for the 24th of August, 2026. That's Sierra Delta Foxtrot, the Super Dimension Fortress. And if you're not familiar with SDF, it's a public access Unix system you can learn more about by directing your web browser to sdf.org. Right, I'm looking at the dashboard, and no new call signs are there. There may be somebody out there on that All-Star node. You know, speak up, and then I'll give you the explanation. But you all, the rest of you have all been here before, so let me run through it real quick. I am AB9FJ, the net control operator today. My name is Wayne. My QTH is Urbana, Illinois, and my SDF username is JWH. Right, this net meets every Monday, blah, 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 and we would like to thank Michael, November Zero, Victor Zulu, Charlie for letting us use this conference for our net. Our net is open to all licensed radio amateurs, yeah, yeah. We'd like to have a topic of the week to kickstart our discussions, and I didn't come up with a topic this week. So once again, anything that's on your mind is fair game. One thing I am noticing here, I don't know, you know, I've gotten perennial complaints about my audio level being low in the past, especially from John down under. And I'm looking at the little view meter now, and it's like up around 80-90%. And I'm thinking that usually it's more like 30 or 40%. I don't know what, I haven't changed anything, but, just curious. Anyway, let me run down the list here. We've got PY2BIL and K0BIT, and we've got the All-Star node 273661, which I think belongs to that mic, M0VZZ. Right, so, let's start going down the list, starting with PY2BIL.
This is PY2BIL. Audio check there, do you hear me okay?
Yes, I hear you fine.
Okay, this is PY2BIL. For some odd reason, right now the All-Star Link started to make some nasty noise there. So I don't know what's going on, but I wanted to just say hello over RF tonight, but it didn't work out. But we spoke before, Wayne. It seemed to be working, but now it makes some white noise there. I don't know what the reason is. Anyways, I guess there is no specific topic for tonight. Let me reset. And you correct me after the fact if there is any topic which I may have missed. But otherwise, I'm glad to be back here after a few weeks. In the meantime, this little LoRa device arrived with a slow boat from China. And I have set up a mesh core node here and started to play with that. It's a week, so I'm still learning the ropes there. Interesting technology there to play around with that. So I'll keep you all posted once I discover more interesting stuff. But there is quite a community around here in the area. So there are a lot of little repeaters scattered around, which enables us to message each other without intervention of any other public carrier. So let me reset again. So that's what I've been working on lately, or playing with lately, on the radio front. Also, I wanted to mention that amateur radio newsline report, which you, Wayne, I guess you manage for your local repeater there, carried two news that I provided them. One is this last Friday, so it's the current edition of the Newsline report, talking about the expedition to Cambodia. So that's news I provided. It's the expedition, which is a mix of Brazilians, Americans, Japanese, and some European in the mix for next year. So that's exciting. So it's always great to see news then reporting something from me. So that's exciting. Every time you see something about Brazil, it's most probably from me. And 2 weeks ago, they carried another news about an event here in São Paulo in Brazil with some radio pioneer from Brazil. So I'm not sure if you recall that, but that was also some news from myself. So if you listen to that, if you listen to the Newsline report and hear Brazil, then that's me. Okay, Wayne, back to you. This was a long one. This back to you. Yes, AB9FJ, this is PY2BAR.
Okay, well, long is not a problem. I mean, there's only three of us here, so we've got a whole hour to kill if we want. But, right, our local two-meter net, we do Newsline on Thursday night, so it's like almost a week out of date by the time we do it. So I haven't seen, you know, last Friday's Newsline yet. I'll probably, in the normal course of events, I would probably download it on Wednesday and get it ready to play on Thursday. So I'll probably take a quick look at it later this evening. But I thought there was something on the tip of my tongue. So I don't remember the other story you were talking about, a radio pioneer from Brazil. But I will keep in mind that anytime there's something about Brazil on Newsline, it probably came from you. Right? That's really great. Oh, my gosh. I think we're back on and on radio. Let me crank up the volume a little bit there. No, that's music. Never mind. Then next up is K0BIT.
Okay, this is Craig. Kilo Zero Bravo India Tango. You know, my All-Star node was broken. So, by the way, thanks for that. Don't worry about that. I didn't catch the previous operator. I didn't catch your name. But, hey, don't worry about those long updates. I find that stuff neat. I listen to the news hour, too. Not religiously, but I catch it sometimes. All right, I got a one-minute timeout on this thing. I got to remember that. So my All-Star node, I get on here via All-Star. And let me tell you what I did with that and why I haven't been on here. I'm going to reset. 4. And I put it in a metal case. And I got one of those CM108. I forget who makes that. There's this guy that makes them. They take the Kenwood style. You could stick them into an HT. You know, one's like this microphone and the speaker, and then one's for PTT control. And it has a USB. It's like a little sound modem, tiny little thing. So I hooked up an HT to it, and I had to do some programming. Not really programming. I had to do some configuration settings. So I'm running the All-Star software. Well, I plugged it in. I'm using a TID radio, H8. So it has a USB-C resetting. Okay. So it's got the USB-C, and it plugged it into the battery. Well, guess what? If you leave that thing plugged in, it destroys the battery, and then it doesn't work. So the radio broke. So I thought, what am I going to do? Well, I go out and I look at it, and these things put out 7.4 volts, which is an odd number. Probably has something to do with the cells or something in there. I don't really know. So lo and behold, you could go buy a 12-volt to 7.4-volt DC buck converter, which is what I did, and I soldered that thing to the pins on the HT, because this runs in my RV, and I now have permanent power supply to the All-Star node, to the HD via this buck converter, and it's working great. So that's what I'm talking on now. So, all right, reset one more time. All right, so here I am. So a topic that is interesting to me that maybe we can have a little rag to if you're up for it. I've been getting kind of depressed about the state of the Internet. When I got into this, I was a kid. I was into BBSs. I watched the Internet blow up in the 90s. And it was like an exciting time. There was so many interesting things. I got on the web after a while. I thought, how amazing is that? People making a bunch of websites, and so on. I watched blogging, and I watched social media. And something happened, and I woke up one day, and I thought, this is not what I thought was going to happen. So I've been revisiting this concept of the Fediverse, of the small web, the old web, and all those kinds of things. And that's been my topic, and SDF is part of it. All right, that's enough. That's an interesting idea for me. Back to you, Wayne.
Okay, I think I lost track there. I thought I had something to reply. Maybe it'll come back to me. But the last thing that you said there about the Internet, I know what you mean. I've felt that way for a long time, especially because, I got in early, and I remember what it was like in the really old days, and back when you had to be like an academic or a government to even have access to the Internet. When it got really commercialized, that was a shock. And I never got into the so-called social media. I don't want to go on a rant there, but I understand what you mean. And SDF is a good place to be if that's how you feel, because quite a lot of people on SDF agree with you and are pursuing the small net, alternative net kinds of endeavors there. So I think you found a home. I think there was still something else I wanted to address, but I'm not remembering it. So let's see if Guillermo has something to say.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for passing it back to me. I see Robert just joined, so we want to give him some space there. Well, he dropped now. Anyways, Craig, I'm totally with you on that one, right? I jumped on the Internet. Maybe it was a year before the web surfaced, that famous Netscape browser, right? So it was just barely a year before, and it was at school, right? I was there, and at the time, the hottest thing on earth was Gopher, right? So that's where I was when the Internet came on, and then shortly after that, it went commercial, and that's when it went down the tubes, right? So, and as Wayne said, right, SDF is a nice place to be, right, because of the guys that are there, basically, right? That's the most important piece of that. And the whole environment, right? You can play around with stuff that you liked back then, right? But there's nothing we can do about changing the way the Internet went, unfortunately, right? So I'll take out the positive pieces of the current Internet and try to make something out of that, right? And then I go to SDF and play around there for the good old days. So that's what I have to add there, Wayne. So back to you, AB9FJ. This is PY2BIL.
Okay, yeah, thanks, Guillermo. Yeah, I saw that Robert was there just as I was passing it to you there. I expected he would stick around for a few minutes and I'd call on him next, but maybe he'll be back. And one of the things to return to what Craig was talking about, I was a BBS sysop back in the late 80s and early 90s. And that was kind of a golden era of kind of low-tech, high-tech, I guess. I ran a bulletin board that was dedicated to programming, and my forte was to collect source code. I don't know if you remember, but back in the day, there used to be several programming magazines. There was like Dr. Dobbs Journal, there was C Language, there was PC Magazine, Byte Magazine. Lots of places would have, they would print in the in their magazine, you know, articles about programs, and they would have the source code available on their, back in those days, they weren't websites, they were bulletin boards, you know, so you could call in to, like, Byte Magazine and download the source code for this little widget that they talked about in the most recent issue. And so anyway, what I did was, is since I had enough money to, I could afford the long distance charges, because, again, back in those days, long distance was expensive. And so I would go to each of the magazines, BBS, and I would download the latest source code zip file or ARC file and put it on my bulletin board so that local people here could call me and get it as a local call from my bulletin board instead of having to call long distance to get them. So that was what I did back in the late 80s, early 90s. So I don't see Robert back. Let me see if either of you have something else to add.
K0BITF. I'll keep this in net format. Yeah, I have a comment.
Go ahead, Craig.
Trouble pronouncing this name. I think it was Guillermo. I could sort of say this, those names, but not very well. And that one in particular. All right. So you mentioned Gopher. And I must have been a teenager. And I used Gopher for a while. So I caught the tail end of that. And there was something else called WAIS, I think. Wide Area Information System. I don't know if y'all remember that. It was like another pre-web thing. I remember using those things. And I think what I missed about BBSs was the social aspect. Of just hanging out, and I also got this on. I got to change that time up. I used to get on IRC, and I had that similar social aspect there, too. And so I don't know what happened. The other stuff was not very personable. Social media is, I don't know what else to say, but bullshit. It's not really social. It's manipulative and I would almost say exploitative, maybe even downright dangerous because of the kind of things that it fosters as extreme opinions. You said you don't want to get on a rant. Well, I can get on one too. So I missed that old social thing. So I've been exploring that and I've been getting on some Telnet BBSs and I've been messing with some alternative networks and stuff like that that I find I want to bring that back. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens. Back to you.
Okay. Well, just so you know, there's a Wikipedia page, Wide Area Information Server, and I think that's what you were referring to. So, if you want to, you can go there to find some more information about it, and maybe there's some activity going on even today. I don't know. I'll have to read it. I just looked it up and skimmed the surface there. And I saw that VK2DY had popped in again, but dropped back out. So we'll keep an eye out for him. Yeah. So I don't have anything to add right at the moment here, but I think I'm going to keep the net going for, you know, until at least 30 minutes after the hour there in case Robert or John or any of the other Aussies show up. So let's see, Guillermo or are you Craig, either one of you, if you want to, you know, just pipe up.
Yeah, let me jump in if Craig is okay with that.
You have the floor, Guillermo. Go ahead. Oh, and I wanted to mention, you know, Craig, if you ever watch Jimmy Kimmel, his sidekick is named Guillermo. So just a little trivia bit there.
Here we go. A little trivia around my name. Yeah, Craig, your pronunciation was perfect. Right, so Guillermo is the Spanish version of the name William. Right, and I happen to be born in Argentina, and that's why I have that name with that spelling. But other guys tell me just Bill, so whatever is easier for you. But Guillermo, yeah, that's my name, and pronunciation was perfect, Greg, no worries. And going back to the old stuff, yes, the wide area information system, yeah, I was on that one too. And then came www and ate everything up. But before that, Wayne, and you mentioned BBSs. Yeah, no, absolutely. I was also on BBSs. I was more referring to the actual internet side of things. But BBSs, yeah, dial-up and all that stuff. I've played with that too. Downloading, obviously, software, right, and no music. It was just more programming. You mentioned Dr. Dobbs' journal. Yeah, I remember that one too. So, yeah, exciting times. And it's all dated, right? And we reveal a little bit of our age here. But it has been a great time. And a lot of these BBSs are still around. Well, a lot. Some that Craig mentioned, right? You access over Telnet. Right, but they lost momentum, obviously, but you have small communities there, which like SDF, right, which carry on with the old spirit. So whenever you get engaged with one of those BBSs, you may find that same spirit of the 80s, and that's always great stuff. So that was all, Wayne, for today. So back to you. This is PY2BIO.
All right. Well, thank you, Guillermo. And I'm reminded that before I got into running my own bulletin board and cruising other bulletin boards, there was Usenet. And Usenet is still around, but it's kind of deprecated. The phenomenon of spamming and trolling, you know, really destroyed the communication value of it. But there was a time when we actually had good, you know, discussions on Usenet, and a lot of you know, good conversations took place and information, kind of like what, I don't know, maybe Reddit or Slashdot, you know, in the internet sphere, kind of tries to come close to what we had with Usenet. So, and that lasted several years. I'm thinking from, I don't know, from the late 70s, maybe 79 or 80, through most of, at least the first half of the 80s. You know, there was a golden age of Usenet for about 5 or 6 years there. And it's sad that it went away. So, all right, I'm open to any other rechecks. I don't see Robert returned yet, but we'll hang on a few minutes here more. But anyway, if you have something that you want to add, just pipe up.
I'll take it. We're kind of going in a circle here. So look, you know what I started doing? I now run my own mail server, you know, email server, and I was running on my own matrix server. I'm going to start another one again. And I got my family on both of those things. And we use them extensively. So I do remember Usenet, by the way. And let me tell you why I like Usenet. And let me tell you what else I'm going to do. I'm about to build a website. How can I talk about this? Hold on a minute. Reset. So Usenet was decentralized, right? You're not under the control of a single organization, and that single organization may be benevolent, or it may not be benevolent, or it may be benevolent until it's not. until you don't follow the rules, and then all of a sudden you're kicked off the thing, you know, like Reddit, right? To me, that is an insult to the spirit of the Internet, to be honest. And I think it's strongly wording like that is, I say that on purpose. I think it's an insult, because the barrier to entry to the Internet was easy, and it was a level playing ground. It was almost like a, I don't want to say a free-for-all, but if we were going to use the word libertarian, I think that's the right word for libertarian. Because you got something, you want to make it, you connect to the Internet, and you make it. Reddit is the antithesis of that. All right, so, yeah, so you got the Reddit of the world. Let me start on Meta, right? But Usenet was decentralized. Email is decentralized. I run my own server. I set up SPF and DKIM, and I don't have problems delivering email. So I also have email on my company. We also send email. We're not email hosting, but have a product, and part of it is sending and receiving email, and that works fine. So email interoperates just fine. So the future is bright for email, okay? It's like, seriously. Matrix? I like the Matrix. I like decentralized. That's why I like the Fediverse. So I found out about those things, and I have become inspired. And so I'm going to make a little website. I think I'm going to, I want to share my inspiration with others. But anyway, back to you, Wayne.
Okay, well, that sounds very interesting, Craig. And let me just, I see VK2DY has popped in again. So stand by there, Robert. You'll be next up. But, Craig, yeah, keep us up to date on how that project goes, either here in the net or drop a line into the SDF ARC mailing list. So, Robert, we've been kind of, we did not start out with the topic of the week, but we kind of have settled on one. How to distill it into a single phrase here. We've been kind of bemoaning the current conditions of the Internet, and we've been reminiscing about when it was so much better, 20, 30, 40 years ago. So if you have some fond memories of, you know, bulletin boards or Usenet or, I don't know, maybe even AOL, I don't know, whatever, that's kind of where we've been going here. So VK2DY, you have the floor.
Yes, good morning. This is Robert, BK2DY in northwestern Sydney. It's currently 20.1 degrees Celsius, about 68 Fahrenheit, and going up. Just last Wednesday, we suddenly started to see spring. That always happens here. It's coolish weather, around 17 Celsius or so, and then the next day it's 20, 22, 23. And that's exactly what happened last week. So anyway, it looks like spring has sprung, and I really have serious spring fever here. But to the question at hand, I remember the old bulletin board days very, very fondly. I had I always favored the software called TBBS, the breadboard system, I think. I paid money for it. It was not a free software. And I had a number of different bulletin boards put up. I set up a bulletin board for a local club, a computer club, Amiga computer club. I was into Amiga computers back then, and so I set up their bulletin board. I set up another bulletin board that was like philosophy, religion sort of bulletin board. And yeah, I over the years, I put together various different bulletin boards, and the internet sort of killed all that, and it was fun because, you know, we'd chat on there. I think we chat more than you do now on things like the Book of Faces. Book of Faces, you're talking to people you don't know who they are, you don't know where they are, and they don't care normally, and they swear at you, and they do all sorts of weird stuff. And it's like, back in the day, we all knew each other. We all lived within a fairly short radius of the bulletin board. And I think we were a little bit more respectful to each other and a little bit more knew each other a little better. So I definitely do miss the old bulletin board days. I remember one time we kept somebody wished me a happy winter solstice, and I kept that message going for more than a year, maybe a year and a half, before I finally came up with it. But yeah, you just keep replying to it; it keeps coming up in the messages, and it's like I thought that was so cool back then. Now it sort of sounds pretty dumb. But anyway, I can wax nostalgic a lot on that. VK2DY, back to Ned.
Okay, well, thank you, Robert. I noticed that you mentioned the Amiga, and that was I was also an Amiga fan back in the 80s. So perhaps in a future Ned, we can reminisce about Amiga. Although I do have some, I haven't really been following closely. I kind of dropped out of the Amiga orbit or community sometime in the 90s. Maybe it was when I got my next computer. But anyway, there seems to have been some development in the commercial world of Amiga software and hardware, mostly software. From what I can tell, apparently, you know, there's been kind of some intellectual property wars going on between different parties over Amiga, and what I seem to have gleaned lately is that perhaps there's been a resolution of some of those arguments, and so maybe the path is open for a renaissance of stuff Amiga. So anyway, it's worth keeping an eye on. So let me pass it back to you and see if you have something to reply or respond to.
Yeah, I could speak for hours on Amiga still. But yes, just recently, VK2DY here, just recently, maybe in the last few weeks, there's been a resolution between Hyperion and Amiga Inc. To settle their dispute over the operating system. And basically, Amiga Inc. is going to take back the operating system from Hyperion. So all the lawyers, all the fighting over, got to be at least a decade, is over. Plus, there's a guy that bought Commodore, and Perry Frantic is his name, screen name. And he's built Commodore, he's building retro Commodore 64s using FPGA emulation, and he's really into that, and he's been in talks with the guy who owns Amiga Inc., and I suspect that there will be a new Amiga out with an FPGA implementation in not too long in the future. They're pretty quiet about that, but with all the things settled now, I think you might see it. VK2DY, back to Net.
Okay, well, something to look forward to. I had some fun with the Amiga during the few years that I had it. Anyway, right. Well, we've made it here 36 minutes. That meets my... I sort of have a quota of the Net lasting at least half an hour. So we've matched that, and now it's time for me to think about wrapping things up. So let's have a final call, or you know, let's see if there are any final comments or rechecks.
K0BIT comment.
Go ahead, Craig.
My username is Craigify, C-R-A-I-G-I-F-Y. I forgot to say that. And maybe you can direct that just to get everybody to say their usernames, and maybe I could send a message or something on Commode. Thanks.
Right. Well, I am in a non-radio room as we speak. And I think I mentioned that my username is JWH. I also have a few other accounts on SDF. In particular, I have one with my call sign, AB9FJ. I don't hang out there all that much, but it is there, and I check the email occasionally. Well, let's go down the list here for like Guillermo.
Yeah, I just put it in the chat there. My SDF handle is G Cremery. So hopefully you got that. Back to you, Wayne.
Okay, thank you, Guillermo. Robert, do you have an SDF account?
No, I actually haven't. I play a lot with Raspberry Pis, and of course the Mac is Unix underneath, so I've not found the need for SDF. So no, I don't. VK2DY.
Okay, well, you know, I don't want to twist your arm or anything, but I always encourage, I mean, any ham operator, you can get a free account based on your call sign. So you could have VK2DY at sdf.org, which is a lot of, you know, not a lot of typing, so which is a big plus, I think. Also, you get a free website so that you can put, you know, your QSL cards or whatever you like on the website there. So anyway, doesn't cost anything. I mean, there are some extra features you can buy, but the basic features, the email, the website, you know, that's free. So, all right, any other comments or rechecks?
VK2DY, I just put the settlement notice on the text box if you want to read it. VK2DY.
Yes, I see that. Thank you. So, final call for rechecks or additional comments. Okay, let's wrap it up here. This concludes this week's SDF Amateur Radio Club Net at 0041 UTC, Zulu. If you'd like to continue the conversation, I know I'm over here in a non-radio room in Com. We used to have this thing on DMR, but I never really got into that, and I think it's been broken for years now. But it's still in my script here, so it jumps out at me before. Anyway, this is Net Control Station AB9FJ saying 73.